This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on the Washington Watch. My name is Ronnie Floyd, senior pastor of Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas and the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm sitting in at the desk today for my dear friend, Christian brother, and fellow American, Tony Perkins. I'm so grateful for the ministry of the Family Research Council and for this radio program that goes across the nation, the Washington Watch. Today is going to be remarkable. Our guest will be Bill Simon, former president and CEO of Walmart U.S., Dr. Jack Graham, senior pastor of the Prestonwood Church in Dallas, Texas, and Dr. Ben Carson, one of America's great leaders. Let me remind each of you today that the Washington Watch and our related affiliates do not support or oppose candidates for president of the United States. Any endorsements are made in personal capacity and do not represent the Washington Watch Network as a whole. Well, this has certainly been a news-packed week. Whether it's the Supreme Court striking down HB2 in Texas, the Benghazi Select Committee releasing their final report on the terrorist attack in Benghazi, Libya, where we lost 4 American lives, or the egregious terror attack in Turkey, it's clear both in this nation and our world, we need to pray. Even today, President Obama lifted the long-standing ban on military services by persons who identify as transgender. These are interesting and challenging times. As Christians, we cannot grow weary in doing good and pursuing our God. Our first guest today has a good bird's eye view of where our country is both morally and militarily. Joining me with this analysis on all the news items this week, world-renowned neurosurgeon and former GOP presidential candidate, Dr. Ben Carson. Dr. Carson, welcome back to the Washington Watch.
Thank you. So good to be with you again.
Dr. Carson, let's start with a couple of questions on the events of this week. First, the final Benghazi report coming out from the Select Committee. Which were some of your main takeaways? When you look at that, what are those main takeaways? And what message does it send regarding Secretary Hillary Clinton's leadership ability?
I thought it was quite interesting that many of the Democrats said, there's nothing new here. There's really nothing worth talking about. When in fact, one of the key things that was brought out was that even while the attack was going on, they were meeting and talking about how to present this in order to prevent political damage. So no wonder they don't want to hear about it or talk about it. That's pretty damaging. And one of the things that that really says to you, though, and this is very serious, a large portion, probably half of the American people, have become so desensitized to lying, to immorality, that it doesn't bother them anymore. Mm-hmm. They just say, oh, everybody does it. It's no big deal. What difference does it make? And that tells you that as a nation, we have arrived in a very precarious situation. And when you stop and think about how this nation rose to the pinnacle so quickly, a lot of it had to do with our moral fabric, our belief system, with our morals and our principles. And if we throw those things away, along with our identity, disaster awaits us, just as it has every other society that has done that.
That's right. And you know, Dr. Carson, even this week, the Supreme Court struck down HB2 in Texas, a law that would have simply forced abortion clinics to raise their clinical standards to that of a veterinary clinic. Dr. Carson, you're a world-renowned doctor and surgeon. Were you surprised by this court's decision?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. I wish I had been surprised.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've reached that point. it tells you one of the reasons that the coming election is so vitally important. The Supreme Court is getting more into the moral issues and the social issues of the day. And the federal courts are getting into those. They were never supposed to. The way things were originally intended is that social issues would be handled at the local/state level. And there was a very good reason for that. It was because those individuals, those jurists and those legislators at the state level had to answer to the people. And they could be elected and unelected. But when they reach the federal level, they do whatever they want. And nobody has any jurisdiction over them. And that's the kind of thing that the people who founded our country were trying to escape from.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Carson, you know, obviously you have been in the battle of this entire political season that we've been in over the last year. And when you look at the decision related to the abortion decision this week that came out by the Supreme Court, do you have any feel on where the two political candidates for presidents are and their responses to this ruling?
Well, you know, at the meeting in New York last week with Donald Trump and 1,000 evangelicals, he made a big point of the fact that anybody that he appointed or nominated for the Supreme Court would be pro-life. And that's essential. It's not really just for the Supreme Court. It's for the federal courts, too. A lot of people forget about the fact that those are presidential appointments as well. And so the future of our country, and people say it at every election, but this time it's really true, the future of our country is dependent on the outcomes of this election. And if a progressive gets in there and gets 2 to 4 Supreme Court picks, America as we know it is gone. It's almost gone as we know it already at this stage when you look at the things that are going on. I mean, transgender, accommodations for the military. Are you kidding me? Mm. And people wonder why the volunteer rate is down so much. Mm. People don't want to go into this social laboratory. You know, and we're killing ourselves. And every way, it's almost as if somebody said, what can we do to completely destroy the morale of the American people, to destroy their military, to destroy their will to defend themselves, to destroy their identity? Let's do those things. I hate to think that way, but it almost seems that way.
It really does. I mean, it's just really amazing to me. I mean, the moral decay in America right now is just breathtaking. And obviously, we are sliding toward Gomorrah by the day, and even by the hour on many of these days.
It's going to require a tremendous amount of courage on behalf of Christians and people of faith, because to stand up in the face of political correctness is something that most people don't want to do. And it's actually what they count on. The progressives count on the fact that you don't want to stand up. And if you just sit down and shut up, they're perfectly happy. You don't have to agree with them. Just sit down and shut up.
Boy,
and let them drive.
Yeah, that's so correct. That's right. And you know, Dr. Carson, I know that that you obviously think that this election that is coming in November is going to be so impacted by our views relating to the very things we talk about. How would you encourage us to be involved in the voting processes, and how do we weigh all of this from where you sit?
Yeah. Well, as you know, I'm the honorary chairman of My Faith Votes, and basically what we're trying to emphasize to people of faith is that God doesn't take care of everything. A lot of people sit back and say, oh, we don't have to do anything. God will take care of it. The way he takes care of it is through us. He uses us as his agent. And, you know, for us to sit back and say, well, yeah, but I don't like either party. They're both equally bad. You know, I don't want to have to choose between the lesser of two evils. You know, that's not the reason that God gave us a sophisticated brain. He wanted us to be able to take into account a lot of different things. And, you know, if you get a paper cut on your little finger, ouch, that smarts, that hurts. And if somebody chops off both of your legs, that hurts too. They're both bad. But I tell you, one's a whole lot worse than the other. And, you know, you got to have enough sense to be able to recognize that. And the other thing that I think is important is, you know, Donald Trump is actually making some sincere efforts now to strengthen his spiritual life. I know that for a fact. And he's starting to pray and talk about things that he never would have been dealing with previously. And I think it's having an impact. I think you're going to see somebody who's a little less self-centered and starting to think about others and the tremendous responsibility that comes with the potential position that he's seeking.
Well, I tell you what, the stakes are so high. We've got to lead effectively and clearly and courageously, as you said. And, you know, even in relationship to the terrorist attack in Turkey this week, Dr. Carson, I find it interesting again that the president continues to refuse to take on and to deal with this live threat of radical Islam. I mean, you have any feelings about that? What do you think we need to do about that?
Well, first of all, we need to understand radical Islam. I suggest to every person of faith, please get out some books and read about who Muhammad was. Read about his experience in Mecca and how he engendered a lot of ill feelings there and had to flee to Medina when his uncle died, who was his protector, and how he raised an army there and how they started slaughtering anybody who didn't believe the way they did. And there's a book called the Hadith, which looks at his whole life and base, you know, the lives of his followers on his life. And it's got some awful stuff in it, including how he married a 9-year-old girl and had multiple other people that he was married to. So, you know, those kinds of things
well,
horrible.
Mm.
But then you have to look at Sharia and what the belief systems are there. And recent surveys have demonstrated that 51% of Muslims believe in Sharia. Sharia is not compatible with the Constitution of the United States of America. And, you know, unless we're willing to come out and say that, and say, you know, like Teddy Roosevelt, he said, everybody is welcome, regardless of their nationality or their belief system, as long as they want to be American and as long as they will accept our Constitution and our ways. And if they're not going to do that, they should stay where they are. I think that's a perfectly logical way to look at it.
Yes. And Dr. Carson, in these final seconds, could you tell us just a quick sentence or two of why you really love America when we think about the 240th anniversary that we're going to celebrate on this coming week?
Yes. Well, you know, I've visited 58 different countries, and I am always so delighted and thankful to God that I was born in a place where through your own efforts, your own hard work, you can accomplish unimaginable things.
Outstanding. Well, thank you, Dr. Carson, for being with us today.
Did you know that the Arlington National Cemetery was originally built during the Civil War? That's right. It was the home of Robert E. Lee, actually, who was the general of the Confederacy. Little known fact about the Arlington National Cemetery, which today is an iconic tribute to our fallen heroes. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We'll visit the Arlington National Cemetery in September on our spiritual heritage tour, as well as going to many other sites in our nation's capital. We'll also go to the home of George Washington, Mount Vernon. In addition, Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will be a place we visit just prior to our nation's capital. So if you'd like to go on either of these tours in September, or both, we welcome you to find out all the information at the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
I'm John Riley. I want to let you know about an opportunity that you have to reach out to families in West Virginia who are affected by a major disaster. Flooding has overtaken much of West Virginia, and they need our help. There are families there that are hurting and struggling, but there's a wonderful ministry called Hope Reigns that's actually on the ground right now, wrapping their arms around those homeowners. You can make a difference. You can volunteer and help these homeowners through this wonderful ministry called Hope Reigns. If you want to volunteer, you want to help, please give them a call right now and say, I would love to volunteer there in West Virginia. They need your help. 662-255-7565. That's 662-255-7565. Or you can go online, 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. Please pray for them, and if you want to give financially, they could use that as well.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch. Thank you, Dr. Ben Carson, for your incredible words and your challenge to all of us as Americans. You know, the spiritual well-being of America cannot be understated. As we get ready to celebrate the 240th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, many leaders, including myself, are wondering if the founding fathers would even recognize our country. Who we select as president this November will determine the course in which we go, a course that currently needs to change morally. Thankfully, we have several men of God across this country who will fight to the bitter end in an effort to see God glorified across the United States of America. I'm about to interview one of those men. I hope today that your life will be really blessed with the incredible leadership and the conviction of our next guest. He is involved politically and spiritually. He's the senior pastor of the Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas for the past 27 years, one of our past presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention, and last year, 2 years ago in 2015, was the honorary chairman of the National Day of Prayer. And Dr. Jack Graham, we want to welcome you back here today to the Washington Watch.
Thank you, Dr. Floyd. It's always good to talk with you, and it is such an important time in the history of our nation and the destiny of our children, our grandchildren. Appreciate you, and we're going to have a good conversation today about what we can do together to make a difference.
Absolutely, and you know, Jack, I really do appreciate so much your heart for the country, and you hold the Bible in your hand, and the Lord Jesus in your heart, and the Holy Spirit is your power as you do it. But I want us to talk about the current political landscape in America, but let's talk about it from the spiritual state of this nation. Tell me, what do you see?
Well, we are losing America as we've known it. Here we are on the eve of this great celebration, the 4th of July. We celebrate our faith, our freedoms. And we're brokenhearted because we know our nation is going in the wrong direction. And even though there's a great deal to celebrate, and I'm typically optimistic by nature, there's also, at this time, a shadow on our flag and on the future of our country. And unless things turn around, unless the nation is reversed in terms of its decline, this encroaching darkness around us. We're not going to recognize this nation in just a few years. It's barely recognizable today. Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine that I'm 66 today, by the way. It's my birthday, and I was born in 1950.
Happy birthday, Dr. Graham.
In this decade, this generation, I'm a part of a baby boomer generation. It's been on our watch. We've seen some terrible failures in America by government, by the church, and just the culture at large. And so we desperately need to see change. We're seeing an outpouring of unrestrained evil. I don't know how else to put it.
That's right.
Just unrestrained evil, such as we would have never thought possible a few years ago. And we're witnessing the disintegration of a culture and of a country. On the other hand, I'm seeing people praying as never before. Often the church rises up in response to opposition and resistance. And we can see revival in the church and spiritual awakening, and I know that's been on your heart for a long time.
Absolutely.
Dr. Floyd, so often in the midst of adversity and repression and opposition, great things can happen because God's people get desperate and cry out to Him.
There's no question about that, Dr. Graham, and I know your church is a strong praying church, and you have obviously been alongside of me in issuing the call to spiritual awakening in America, and I want to thank you for that. You know, my recent address to the Southern Baptist Convention as president, 2 days before, obviously, I put the gavel down for the last time as president, I made this statement in the address: we are on the precipice of either experiencing awakening or falling into an abyss. Now, Dr. Graham, do you believe that statement? And I know you've already mentioned that a little bit, but I want you to go a little bit deeper on the great need in America and how the church and how this country can experience a mighty spiritual move of God.
Well, it's absolutely true. It's a revival or ruin. And we are at the tipping point, and this nation, as we celebrate the founding fathers and the principles of the nation here in a few days, was built upon spiritual principles and built upon the Bible, and it the foundations be destroyed, the scriptures say, what will the righteous do? Mm-hmm. And there's certainly cracks in the foundation, and our foundations are shaking. Mm-hmm. And so we need to build again and rebuild. There needs to be a rebirth of America. We celebrate the birth of America. We need a rebirth, and it's a spiritual rebirth.
Absolutely.
Now, along with the spiritual rebirth of prayer is prayer and obedience.
That's right.
I define revival as a new beginning. It's not my own definition, but it's one that I've carried with me a long time. I don't know when I first heard it, but revival is a beginning, again, a new beginning of obedience to God, a new beginning of obedience to God. And in many ways, Dr. Floyd, and I know you realize this, we have all the tools, all the spiritual weaponry, all the resources that we need. God has sent the reviver, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And what we need now is for people, God's people, to repent, renew their own faith, and receive the power of God to go forward and to obey Him. Most all the revivals, in fact, all of the ones that I've known of in history, including one that you and I were involved in years ago with the Jesus movement,
right,
the fires of evangelism and world missions were lit.
That's right.
And ultimately, what's going to change America? We know government can't do it. We know that civil government cannot change the hearts of people. It can only rule and reign where there is a moral people. And therefore, we need the spiritual revival among people that would change hearts.
Absolutely.
And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we're not trying to, you know, put a cross on or put a flag on the top of our cross, but rather that we are to point people to Jesus Christ and love our nation because we want to fulfill the mission of Christ.
Amen. This nation needs Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to talk to Dr. Graham for a few more minutes. And we're going to talk about what's at stake in the upcoming presidential election. So we will be right back here on the Washington Watch with Dr. Jack Graham of Prestonwood Church in Dallas.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Well, U.S. bank stress test. The Federal Reserve has completed their stress test on 33 banks, including some banks, foreign banks that do business here in the U.S. And it looks like it has pretty much cleared the way for banks to increase dividends to stockholders and increase stock buyouts. Of course, that's going to be good news for a lot of the banks to increase stock buyouts to add to some false positives of their stock or of their bank in and of itself as they do some financial engineering on their earnings reports for the next go-around. There were some banks, Deutsche Bank being one of them, that didn't fare so well. That is of some concern since they didn't fare so well last time as well. Very large European bank. Speaking of banks, speaking of Europe, Swiss banks doubled their profits over 2015. This in the middle of some very low interest rates in the banking system in Switzerland, but it's all about safety and it's all about the flight to safety. It's all about the volume that is coming into Swiss banks. This has been very good for the nation. Remember, Switzerland, a nation that is a part of the Eurozone, but is not a part of the Euroblock currency. Oil prices here in America are slipping a little bit, going down, and we also at the same time see a drop, an unexpected drop, of 4.1 million barrels in crude inventories here. This happened in the middle of the week this week, so very, very interesting as we see that. And by the way, three states have announced increase in gasoline prices the day before the holiday weekend driving starts.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch, and what a show we've had already today. We've interviewed Dr. Ben Carson, and we're now in an ongoing conversation with Dr. Jack Graham. In just a few moments, we're going to come back as well with Bill Simon, who is the former president and CEO of Walmart U.S., has an incredible career in the military as well as many other things, so do not leave us. I want you to stay with us. Dr. Graham, thank you for the last few minutes before we went to a commercial break, and we're going to talk about what's at stake in this year's presidential election. I know that you are very passionate and convictional about this, as I am, and as Tony Perkins is, who does this show on a daily basis. But Dr. Graham, why don't you tell us from your perspective what is really at stake in this year's presidential election?
Well, to be very specific, and we've talked about in our last segment just about the disintegration of the culture and our need spiritually for revival. On the civic side, we need a change in the direction of this country politically, because the secularism of the current administration and the lack of commitment to the spiritual values that we have held dear in many instances. And, for example, we continue to abort babies in this country and to appoint judges that favor abortion. And we need a Supreme Court that is tilting towards the pro-life movement, and not movement, but laws that protect life. That's and right. The innocents. And as I hope the listeners have heard again and again and again, if not, here it is again, the Supreme Court, whether it's one, two, three, four potential candidates in the next 4 years, will be submitted to be selected to the Supreme Court of the United States. These are lifetime terms. The average tenure of Supreme Court justice is 27 years.
Amazing.
And therefore, who is appointed to the Supreme Court by the next president of the United States will dramatically affect the future of our nation, how we go, where we go, whether we go towards life and religious liberty, or whether we are moving towards a a different kind of country. All you have to do is look at Western Europe and see where we're headed politically unless we turn around. So first, the Supreme Court, and therefore the sanctity of life and religious freedom. Those are the three biggest issues that we face in these elections. And I know there's some people that don't like either candidate, including the Republican candidate. But the fact is, we can't be caught up here in partisanship and even personal preferences and personalities. This is about principle. And if a person is a Bible-believing Christian, a person who cares about life, a person who cares about the sacredness of marriage and the faith traditions that we share, our very faith in America, if you care about those things, you're going to vote the candidate for president of the United States who will support you in those values. There are no perfect candidates, never have been, never will be. But I don't get this whole thing that people want to say, well, I don't like either one, so I'm just not going to vote. It's a matter of conscience to me. You're voting when you're not voting. You may be voting your conscience, but that's a selfish thing in light of where we are in the culture today. We need to make sure that we are expressing our vote, our voice, and our values at this next election.
And before we talk about that, Jack, one of the things that I've done this past Monday, I wrote an article and released it on RonnieFloyd.com entitled Spiritual Leaders and Their Influence in This Election Season. In a moment, I want to go deep on that. But in relationship to those Supreme Court decisions and the justices that will be appointed, one of the things that I say is say it this way. The president can shape a generation, but his appointments can shape and influence generations. And that's exactly what you said a moment ago when you talked about the average service of the typical Supreme Court justice. Now, Dr. Graham, I want us to talk about this challenge of spiritual leaders and Christians with where we are. And again, our time is leaving us soon here. But give me just a few brief remarks about what are you telling your people? Tell me what you're telling your people as a pastor of a great church here in America.
To pray and to participate, which means to express your viewpoint, to let your values be voiced, and then to vote. And yes, not only in the presidential election, but we're Absolutely. Telling our people to consider God's call to public service, whether That's it right. is a local school board, or whether it is a state office. We have four individuals in our church who are serving in the Texas State Legislature. They heard God's call, and we as a church are helping inform people. I believe churches and pastors have the responsibility to help their people get informed regarding the issues, again, locally as well as nationally. We can't sit this out in terms of just watching it happen. We need to be involved and engaged. And Dr. Floyd, one of the best signs I saw, I'm an optimist at heart because I'm full of the hope of Christ. One of the best things I saw, and you were part of this, when we were in New York City recently to have a conversation with Mr. Trump, evangelicals from all over the nation, the last thing we did, and we prayed throughout the meeting, but at the end, I had the privilege of actually That's calling right. everyone to prayer. Mm-hmm. We got on our knees, in some cases powerful. On our faces before That's God, right. and cried out to God for our nation. And that's what we need to do for
Absolutely.
To pray for forgiveness and strength.
Well, thank you, Dr. Graham. Great to have you on the program. We're going to be back in a moment with Bill Simon. Do not miss these next.
What's at stake in this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom,
the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Pastor Jack Marshall.
As a pastor, I feel like I've been enabled to share gems with my congregation. I've been challenged with every course that I've had. They've opened up the scriptures.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
In these summer months, our children aren't at school, and that means lots of free time. Join with 1 million moms to stay current on any new TV series that might prove harmful. Always remember to have filters on your family's mobile devices, and be aware of video game content before your children play. You can stay up to date on this at 1millionmoms.com. Sign up, speak up, 1millionmoms.com.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Washington Watch. If you have just joined us, let me just share with you that already on this broadcast, we have interviewed Dr. Ben Carson, one of America's great leaders. And, of course, just a few moments ago, we had back-to-back shorter segments with Dr. Jack Graham, pastor at Prestonwood Church in Dallas, a tremendous combination of two great leaders in America, and I'm so thankful for each one of them. Now, listen, tomorrow is going to be an incredible broadcast. We're going to have Ann Graham Lotz on with us tomorrow, as well as Tony Evans. And so I hope that you will plan to join us tomorrow on the Washington Watch. Now, for all the issues we've discussed today, there is one major aspect missing, and that's the state of our economy. People across the country are discouraged. Thousands have stopped looking for work, and a future economic outlook is grim. There are those on the left who are trying to quench the spirit of American exceptionalism, but thankfully, if history is any indication, America will bounce back. And I believe if we humble ourselves, our God will once again come upon us with blessings upon blessings for our nation. Now, joining me in this last moment together is the expert analysis on the U.S. economy, the former president of Walmart U.S., current adjunct professor at Baylor University, and a member of the Baylor Board of Regents, 25-year U.S. Navy veteran, Bill Simon. Bill, welcome to the Washington Watch. You're in studio with me today. It's great to have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be with you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
Well, Bill, before I get your business expertise, with your military background, what do you see today as the biggest global threats facing America?
Well, you know, the military is in really dire shape. Sequestration has really drained them down and drawn down our forces to the point where we're very, very vulnerable. If you think about it, it's really similar to some of the events that have happened in our history. The difference is that before World War II, for example, we had drawn down our military, but we had the economic resources, the factories that were, you know, here in the U.S. that could be converted from steel to building ships and tanks and the things that we needed to gear up for war. We don't have that today. Our economy is in a much more difficult place So our ability to respond, if we need to, from a military perspective, is going to be challenged. Secondarily, the threat has changed. The experts call it asymmetrical, which really means that no longer do two armies line up on a battlefield and fight each other in a conventional way. We have the biggest, strongest military still in the world. And our enemies are not lining up that way against us. They're choosing to fight a different war. And we have not yet responded the way we need to fight that war. We need to fight that on the ground that they've chosen and fight that in the way that they've chosen. And that will require us to change our military force structure. It'll also require us to use technology in a way that we've only really just begun to think about.
Well, your words are profound, and obviously, since you've been in the world of business and commerce for decades, along with your military experience, you obviously have a unique perspective. And knowing that terrorists all across the world, I mean, what they really want to do is threaten the future economy of the United States. And anytime they can do anything anywhere in this world to shut it down or to make it questionable really challenges not just the American economy, but the global economy. Well, several people of the world are obviously worried about the economic situation. So what is it going to take from your perspective? You've done it, but what is it going to take from your perspective for the American people to go to work again and to become confident in the American economy?
Well, listening to your earlier guests, I think they began to touch on it. The issue is that we cannot back up anymore. We cannot morally and ethically back up anymore. It's time for us to dig our heels in and start to move forward. I think the greatest gift that God gave us was free will. It's the one that allows us to choose salvation. Yet, sadly, with our economic life, we've abdicated free will to the government. We now wait for the jobs reports to come out to tell us whether we're going to be working or not. Mm-hmm. We wait for the Fed to set the interest rate so we decide if we're going to invest or borrow money or not. We wait for the GDP reports to come out to tell us whether we're going to be in a recession or not. But that's not who we are. We're Americans. We have the ability given to us by the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to move forward when we choose to move forward. So if we sit around and wait for the government to tell us it's time to move forward, for the interest rates to be perfect, for the right situation to occur, it will never occur. It's time for us to move forward. Americans are entrepreneurs. We're risk takers. We're people who invest our money and grow businesses. And when we grow our businesses, our country grows. And the link between business and family and faith is undeniable. Businesses succeed when their customers do well. Families prosper when they have a good job. Statistically, if you're in a two-parent household, you have 20% more household income than you do if you have two single parents in a household. So you're better off economically. The unemployment rate among married people is 25% lower than it is among single people. And church attendance among married people, as you well know, is much higher. So those links between a good job, attending church, and contributing to your community are undeniable. And if we start to move forward by investing our money and becoming who we are as Americans and as Christians, we can move this thing forward. We just can't back up anymore.
Yeah, that is so powerful, because even recently in your life, Bill, you went through a situation that obviously was life-threatening. And I want you to take a moment today to just tell our listeners about this. And I want everybody just to listen very carefully, because what you're about to learn is that this is one of the things that has motivated Bill's incredible commitment to faith and to family and to business and understanding where they all fit in. So, Bill, tell us what happened in your life recently that so altered your perspective today.
Well, on November 3rd, I was flying a little airplane. I teach at Baylor University in the management department in the School of Business, and jumped in the plane. This time happened to be with two friends of mine to fly down there to teach my class, and my friends were going to eat a little good Texas barbecue while I was teaching the class. And we were going to come home that evening. And as we got to about 10,000 feet at cruise, we started to have difficulties with the engine and needed to move very quickly and make an emergency landing. We descended from 10,000 feet in about 4 minutes to try to line up for an emergency landing. Unfortunately, the weather and the clouds didn't cooperate, and the engine quit before we could reach the runway. Faced with no other choice, thankfully, God gave my wife the wisdom to make me buy an airplane that had a Cirrus airplane that had an airframe parachute called CAPS, and I was able to deploy the parachute and save everybody's lives. I didn't do it. God pulled the handle. God made me buy the plane. And we came down in the middle of the busiest street in front of the University of Arkansas, about 100 yards from a high school in between
Martin Luther King Boulevard.
In between power lines. And interestingly enough, we were all fine once we hit ground, landed under the parachute. There's a lot of really great video on YouTube if you want to look it up. It's out there. And then we got hit in a collision with an automobile. So we were fine from the initial incident. And during the collision with the automobile, I got hit in the head with the side of the plane and an airbag from the airplane. And it wasn't serious, but needed to go to the ER to have it looked at. My close friend who was in the back of the plane was fine after the incident, but jumped in the ambulance with me to just keep me company on the way to the ER. So they get to the ER and they're checking me out. And this is where it gets really miraculous. You know, the odds that you crash an airplane, I think, are something like there's something like 2 for every 100,000 hours that are flown. And the odds, and then I think only 1 in 30 or 40 have a parachute on them. Mm-hmm. And then so you start doing those odds, and they're really become incalculable, right? Mm-hmm. And then if you really if you ever had a question about whether God's hand's at work, my friend in the back who just rode in with me the ambulance just to ride, the doctor in the ER looked at him and said, well, you know, you were in a plane crash and you did come in on an ambulance. Let me check you out. They found a clot the size of a dollar, silver dollar, on the bottom of his heart that had been forming over the last several months. And without that intervention from God in the airplane, his life would have been threatened. He may not have made it. And today, you know, they treated it and he's fine. And we had lunch today and life is good for everybody. So, there are really, really miraculous things that happened in life.
And how many seconds from the moment you pulled, how long did you have before you hit the ground?
I think it was probably somewhere between 20 and 25 seconds from the time we pulled till the time we hit the ground.
Remarkable. And in those 20, 25 seconds, what went through your mind, Bill?
Well, you know, you asked me this question once, and I think, you know, do you pray? And I answered that you better be prayed up when you get in one of those things. You better be prayed up when you get out of bed every day, because that's what life is about. You better be square with God at every moment, and don't wait to do it, and live your life because it's a precious, precious gift.
Well, there's no question. I'm so thankful, Bill, that you're fine. And the great news is you said it well. You better make sure Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. And today, if you're listening, I just want to encourage you that if you don't know the Lord personally, realize that He wants to forgive you of your sin. Realize He wants to come in your life and He wants to give you the promise of heaven when you die. What a great privilege it is to live in America with religious freedom, because we have the ability to express that and even to have this program today. Many people, Bill, may not know this, but you were once in Jeb Bush's administration in Florida. He appointed you to Secretary of the Department of Management Services. And you were also the treasurer of his recent presidential bid. And as we move toward these final moments here today, what is your take on what's happening right now in the 2016 election cycle?
Well, we've said it earlier, and you said it earlier in the program, this is a critical cycle, which is why I wanted to get involved, and Jeb is a great friend and would have made a great president, but he's not on the ballot, and there are people that are on the ballot, and who you vote for is going to make a difference. It'll make a difference from the Supreme Court, as you earlier noted. It'll also make a difference in the economy. I don't believe that we can solve, because of that triad that exists between the economy, faith, and family. I don't think our families get stronger without a strong economy. I don't think our faith lives will be as strong as they could be without more Americans working. And so from a business perspective and from a Christian perspective, I think you need to make a choice on who you think's going to be the best for the economy. Mm-hmm. Because without jobs, we don't have strong families. Without strong families, our faith lives are challenged. And that's what I passionately believe in, and that's what I'll be supporting.
Well, I think that in what happens so many times, people imagine evangelical Christians really only being concerned about the Supreme Court and the justices being appointed, which is obviously a major concern for all of us and is what's really at stake. And the sanctity and dignity of human life, unquestionably, as well as this whole element of religious liberty. But as I said this past Sunday in a message, evangelical Christians are also concerned about national security in this country and about the economy, as you have well stated. And with that, Bill, you have such a tremendous heritage with your military background, your success in business. Now you're in all kinds of things, even helping and teaching at Baylor University as an adjunct professor. I mean, you're a great American, and you love America. And while we will many times get to a point where we are so concerned for our country, and we are concerned, it's unquestionable that we're concerned, I think it's important as we look to the this next week to the 240th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence in America, I want you to take a few moments today, maybe the next minute, and tell us why you love America.
The Declaration of Independence, besides the Bible, might be the greatest document ever written. I mean, listen to these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If that is not biblical, I don't know what. What a privilege to live in a country that was founded on those principles, that believes in those principles, and that lives those principles today. I'm truly, truly honored and blessed to be an American.
Mm. Well, thank you for your service in this country, Bill. And thank you for your commitment to doing what you can in the American economy and even in relationship to the political landscape of America. And you're a man who is a serious man, and you understand, and you have something to say to America. Some of your words earlier today, I wish every American could hear. They were powerful and they were profound. Well, thank you, Bill Simon, for being on the Washington Watch.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, this has been one great broadcast, has it not? I really do want to thank Tony Perkins for this opportunity, as well as the entire team of the Family Research Council and the Washington Watch. Let me say this about our broadcast today. I hope you'll share it with people. I would encourage you to go online and even to listen to it again. It's so important that we become prepared. And one of the reasons we can become prepared is when we're listening to people in life that can help us navigate through the issues. We are living in very difficult times, very challenging times. And this is why tomorrow we're going to have an extraordinary broadcast again. In fact, I really want to urge you to do everything you can to help us get the word out, because tomorrow on the Washington Watch, we're going to have Dr. Tony Evans. We're talking about one of the most powerful spiritual leaders in America and the gifted and renowned Ann Graham Lotz, who is now the chairman of the National Day of Prayer. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with everyone about America. And so until then, I want you to tell people about us, and we will be back here tomorrow hosting for Tony Perkins. I hope you have a great day here in America.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234. 372-7234.